congregation, we turn in the Word of God to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And we will read verse 25 through verse 40. Psalm 119, beginning at verse 25. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have declared my ways and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts. So shall I meditate on your wonderful works. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. And our text this morning is verse 25. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, do you ever sense that you are simply not what you should be? Or that you are not doing what you should be doing? Or even that you're not doing what you could be doing? Do you ever feel tired of trying to meet all that is expected of you? Now, this can be true of us physically, but it can also be true of us spiritually. We hear the law of God and we realize that we are not what we should be. It's not that we don't desire to live according to the law of God. The psalmist in Psalm 119 was one who delighted in the law of God. He was one who desired to live according to all the commandments of God. He clung to the testimonies of God. He sought to live by all the statutes of God. But yet in our text we find him making a confession of his failures. He says, "My soul clings to the dust." And then he prays, "Revive me according to your word." So first then notice the confession of this psalmist. My soul clings to the dust. And in this confession, the psalmist is speaking from his most inmost being. The word "my soul," it refers to his very person, his being, his existence. He's saying, "I myself with my whole being, with who I am, clings to the dust." This is what the psalmist is confessing. Now, the King James Version says, "My soul cleaves unto the dust." And the word "cling," as the New King James Version has it, or "cleave," as the King James has it, is a very graphic word. It is used to describe the oneness of marriage in Genesis 2, verse 24, where we read in the King James, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." The New King James translates that verse as being joined together. I prefer the translation "cleave to his wife." It has the idea of staying together, of clinging to one another, of sticking to each other, of being closely connected to one another. In the Bible, it is used to describe how the body parts stick to one another. Job speaks so graphically in Job 19, verse 20. He says, "My bones, they cling to my skin and to my flesh." And it said of Ruth that she clung to Naomi. And in the same way, the Israelites, they were to cleave to the Lord their God with loyalty and with affection. But the psalmist here says, "My soul clings," or "my soul cleaves to the dust." And that's his concern. This is his complaint. This is his confession that he's glued, that he's inseparable from the dust of the earth, to the crumbs of the earth, to the ground from which he was formed. Now, because of this reference to dust, some have said that death is imminent for the psalmist and he is fearing the grave. And the dust can refer to the grave, for dust we are, unto dust we shall return, we read in Genesis. But the context shows that the psalmist here was not primarily concerned about his physical well-being, but about his spiritual well-being. And this is even confirmed in the second part of the text when he says, "Revive me according to your word." Or if you look a little bit ahead at verse 28, he says, "My soul melts from heaviness, strengthen me according to your word." And so the continual reference in this section of Psalm 119 is to spiritual revival and renewal through the word of God. Never does it mention that his concern is with others or that his concern is with his physical well-being, but with his spiritual well-being. And so when he says, "My soul clings," or cleaves to the dust, he's not referring to the grave, but he's speaking of the fact that he finds himself to be too earthly minded in his conceptions. The psalmist's confession is that he's overly concerned with the things of this life. He is saying, "My soul, it clings to the things of this earth. My affections, they are too worldly. I think too much about the things of this life. My mood is too much based upon my present circumstances and my experiences." And this is what brings him to such deep distress and led him to cry out to God for help and for strength, that he might break away from the things of this life. He finds that the things of life, they drag him down. They keep him thinking in earthly terms rather than in heavenly terms. He finds that his thoughts are not so much focused upon Christ who is in heaven, but upon the things that are upon the earth. And that he's cleaving to the dust. And this is a humbling and distressing thought to him. He's tasted of the heavenly, you see. He is one who has been regenerated by the Spirit of God. He is one of God's children, and he makes this confession as one who knows of the things of heaven, but who thinks so often of the things of earth. And he finds that these things of life, they drag him down spiritually, and this leaves him troubled. Is this part of the experience of your life as well? Do you find that the things of this life, they drag you down, so that you do not reflect upon those things which are of heaven? And that can take, that can look in a number of different ways, can't it? We can find that we are so involved with getting ahead in life that we reflect little upon the things of God. We can find that we are so involved in the various sports activities and opportunities that we have for us and for our children that we don't have time to spend time in quiet meditation and reflection upon the Word of God and upon the grace of God. We can find that we are so soaked in this entertainment culture that we are always trying to find a greater entertainment high, that we have little time to reflect upon those great spiritual truths of the Word of God. That's what left the psalmist troubled. And cannot every child of God relate to the psalmist in this manner? Is this not the confession of everyone at times who has been renewed by the Spirit of God? "My soul, it clings to the dust." And don't we all who are believers at times sense our divided devotions, our frailty, our limitations in life? Have you ever struggled, for instance, to leave your bed in the morning that you might have a time of meditation and devotion upon the Word of God before you leave for work in the morning? Do you find that at times your focus is completely wrong, completely different than what it should be? So that you find that you spend so much time on worldly things and not enough time on spiritual things? You find it more attractive, for instance, to watch a secular movie than to read a good Christian book? You find it more attractive to be involved in leisurely activities than to attend a Bible study? You find greater delight in attending even a sporting event than attending the worship services? Now, as such, the answer to these questions could be the same for the believer and the unbeliever. For the believer, this affection, though, for worldly things, it brings grief. And this is a clear distinguishing mark between the believer on the one hand and the unbeliever on the other hand. The child of God knows that he is not yet free from the things of this earth, and that at times he finds his soul cleaving to the dust, cleaving to the things of life. But it brings grief to his soul. It causes him to cry out unto God, "My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word." But the unbeliever, on the other hand, he carries on in his life. He doesn't recognize the trouble, the struggle that he has. There is no struggle in his conscience. There's no struggle in his heart. And he enjoys the things of this life. For after all, God has given them to us to enjoy. So the unbeliever is one who doesn't acknowledge that he is yet so worldly in his thinking, so earthly focused, and he's quite content with his current state. Now, the psalmist here is not necessarily speaking about participating in sinful activities as such. There's nothing wrong with attending a sporting event or participating in leisurely activities or taking some time for rest. But what brings him grief is that these things seem so much easier for him than focusing upon spiritual things. My soul clings to the dust. Now, there are times when even the unbeliever becomes distressed by his bondage to the things of this earth. Because living in a broken world means at times that we experience distress because of the effects of living in this sinful world. It's true that there are many examples in the Bible of those who experience distress, not though because they had a trouble with it themselves, but because of the consequence of their sinful activity. Think how distressed Saul was when he was before the witch of Endor, and how he was filled with trouble and fell on the ground. Think of Esau, who lamented before Isaac with a great and exceedingly bitter cry. Or Cain, who thought, "My punishment," he says, "is too heavy for me. I cannot bear it," he said to God. Or Judas, when he saw that he had betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and he went out and hanged himself in despair. You see, the wicked, ungodly man can also feel distressed because not so much of their struggle with it, but because of the consequence of sin. But they are not burdened by it because of who they are, because of their trouble, but because of the trouble that comes upon them. They are not distressed about themselves. But the psalmist is distressed about himself. He is distressed about his own spiritual relationship to the Lord. He's looking for a more intimate fellowship and communion with God. And the things of life, they so often interfere with that fulfillment. My soul clings to the dust. And the psalmist, while delighting in the statutes of God, rejoicing in the commandments of God, knowing of the riches of God, he still finds himself focused so much on the trinkets of life. And congregation, often that comes because we drink so deeply from the polluted streams of this life. We drink from the polluted entertainment industry of this life. We drink deeply from the egotistic, self-centered culture that we live in. And as a result, we often find that we have no desire for the living water. But the psalmist is troubled on that account. He sighs. And even as we confess in the Belgic Confession, he is desiring to be delivered from this body of death. He's not involved in any open, specific sin. But he wants his desires to change so that he can focus more upon the Lord and less upon the dust of the earth. And so he's crying out in this psalm, "Why, O God? Why do I ever find your precepts grievous to me? Why do I not always delight in your law? O God, why do I find divided devotions in my heart? Why am I not always focused upon the Lord? O God, why do I ever find my love for Christ cold? Why is not my love for the Savior always warm? And why, O God, do I ever commit any sin? Why do not I not always live thankfully before You? O God, why am I ever slack in my devotion to You? Why am I not always completely devoted unto You?" You see, this is the desire of one who has been renewed. This is the struggle of the psalmist. This is the struggle of every true Christian. A desire to walk in the ways of God's commandments. But finding our old nature constantly dragging us down to the earth, my soul clings to the dust. Do you know something of this confession of the psalmist? We acknowledge that this is part of the Christian life, this struggle, this desire, this in many ways unfulfilled desire. Our Lord's Supper form, it puts it this way, that the Christian life is one in which you may feel many infirmities and miseries in yourself, as namely that you do not have perfect faith, that you do not give yourself to serve God with that zeal as you are bound, but have daily to strive with the weaknesses of your faith and evil lust of your flesh. And we recognize yet that we are sorry for these weaknesses and earnestly desirous to fight against our unbelief and live according to all the commandments of God. Do you know this confession in your own heart and in your own life? Can you identify with what the psalmist is saying here? Well, if you can, then you also will know something of the hope of the psalmist, the confidence he expresses in the second part of this text. For he says, not only my soul clings to the dust, but he makes this request. He says, "Revive me according to your word." This is his request. My soul clings to the dust, and he prays to God, "Revive me according to your word." And what is the confidence of this psalmist in his bitter need? It is his hope and confidence and faith in the revealed promises of the Word of God. "According to your Word," he says. This is the phrase that the psalmist uses over and over again in this psalm. He has faith in the Word of God, in the promise of God, in the revelation of the Lord. It is an expression of his faith. In my Confession of Faith class this past year, we went through a little book from Paul Helm. Maybe some of you know it. It's called The Beginnings. And in that book, Paul Helm, he makes the following comment about faith in the Word of God. He says, "It is sometimes said that true faith is not faith in the Word of God, but faith in God. But this contrast is based upon a misunderstanding. For if faith is taking God at His Word, then there is no opposition between God and the Word of God. The Word of God is God's speech, without which the character and intentions and promises of God would not be known. And in relying upon God's speech, the person is relying upon God Himself. If a person believes Christ's invitation, 'Come unto me and I will give you rest,' and as a result comes to Christ and gains rest, than relying upon Christ's word, he has relied upon Christ. And in responding to Christ's invitation, he has come to Christ. Faith is faith in the Word of God, and such faith is faith in God Himself. And so when the psalmist says, "Revive me according to your word," he is praying to God that God will do exactly as he has promised in the Word of God. His hope rests not in himself, not in being more diligent and more steadfast, or applying himself more diligently, but his hope rests in God. He turns to the Lord on high, and he expresses his faith in God. And he prays to be strengthened, to be revived by the Holy Spirit, so that he would be more faithful in honoring the Lord. And he pleads upon the Word of God, and he asks for nothing more than what God has revealed in his Word. And what a confidence he has in this Word. And what reason we have for hope in the Word of God. For God has been faithful to all the promises of the Gospel. He is faithful to all who come unto Him. We are to cling not to the dust of the earth, but we're to cling to the living Word of God, to the promises of God. For has not God, in accordance with His faithful promise, given to us the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord Jesus has come, you see, in the flesh. The Lord Jesus has taken upon Himself the dust of the earth. He has come in the human flesh. He lay in the dust with His face in the ground. And on the cruel cross, it was there that He suffered and He died for sinners. And it was there that His tongue had cleaved to His jaws. He was brought to the dust of death. He was laid in the grave. He was laid in the grave, returned unto the dust from whence He came. And so when the psalmist pleads, "Revive me according to your word," he is expressing his confidence that the Lord will revive, the Lord will renew, the Lord will restore according to the promises of the Gospel, on the basis of Christ's finished work. So are you weighed down? Are you overwhelmed? Are you convicted of sin, of your failures in life? Then you're to look to this, to the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the one who's paid the price for sin. You're to take courage as you look at your life and you say, "My life is not as it should be. I have so many failures in my life. I have not lived a life which is completely pleasing unto my Lord. There are so many things that I should be doing. There are so many things that I could be doing, but I have not done." Well, then we're again to look to the Lord Jesus. Because not only are we forgiven our sin as we plead upon His perfect righteousness, but His righteousness also becomes our righteousness. You see, He lived a life of perfection. The whole 33 odd years that He was upon this earth, He lived in perfect obedience to all the commandments of God. And this righteousness is imputed unto us by faith. And so when we pray, "Revive me according to your word," we have this promise that we will be revived by the living word, the word of God, the one who was incarnate in the flesh, who came to the dust of the earth to set us free from the dust of the earth. And so we may be confidently persuaded that though, as our catechism says, your conscience may accuse you that you have grossly transgressed all the commandments of God, and you've kept none of them, and are still inclined to all evil, notwithstanding God, without any merit of yours, but only of mere grace, grants and imputes to you the perfect satisfaction, righteousness and holiness of Christ. Even so, as if you never had nor committed any sin at all, yea, as if you had fully accomplished all that obedience which Christ has accomplished for you. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ has lived a life of perfection so that His righteousness could be imputed unto us. And so while we might continue to confess, "My soul clings to the dust, revive me according to your word," we may have hope, because Jesus Christ has come to this earth. He has taken upon Himself the dust of the earth to set us free from the dust of the earth. That's the psalmist's prayer. Can you identify with his confession, "My soul clings to the dust"? Is that confession your confession? Does it bring grief to your soul? And is the request of the psalmist, "Revive me according to your word," is that your confession as well? This confession and request are born of the Spirit of God. And let us pray. Let us pray the prayer as Charles Bridges did upon this text. And I close with his word, where he said, "O Lord, make me deeply ashamed that my soul cleaves to the dust. Breathe upon me fresh influences of thy quickening spirit. Help me to plead thy word of promise, and oh, may ever fresh view of my sinfulness, while it prostrates me in self-abasement before thee, be overruled to make the Savior daily and hourly more precious to my soul. For defiled as I am in myself, in every service of my heart, what but the unceasing application of thy blood and the uninterrupted prevalence of thy intercession can give me a moment's confidence before thee, or prevent the very sins that mingle with my prayers from sealing my condemnation. Blessed Savior, it is nothing but thy everlasting merit, covering my purpose, my person, and honoring my sacrifice that satisfies the justice of an offended God and restrains it from breaking forth as a devouring fire to consume me even upon my very knees." And so let us pray this psalmist, as the psalmist prayed, "My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to thy word, O Lord." Amen. Receive the blessing from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.